But I want to start off, as always, I like to start off by asking questions. I like to get our minds to start thinking about things that we do and things that we say and how those things affect us and our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. Here's a question I know none of you men in this room have ever had to deal with this question being asked of you. Question number one, are you listening to me? None of you men have ever had to deal with that. Did you even hear what I asked you? I see the heads nodding yes. Never experienced that. Or you ladies. Oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Or, oh, I really didn't mean to say that out loud. Did you hear me? Oh, I am so sorry. And how about sitting at the traffic light? That was challenging for me coming down this morning when I left. I left about 10:30 getting down. Just cruising along, set the cruise control on, going the speed limit. Everybody else flies past you. But there's always this one person in front of you going slower than you. And you're trying to figure out why. There are back roads if you want to take the scenic route. But when you're on the interstate and the speed limit's 70, you just don't want to get behind that person doing 55. Or how about being stuck at the traffic light? You're sitting here, the light's red. The guy behind you is honking his horn at you. And you're trying to figure out, why are you honking your horn at me? The light's red. So you sit there. You try to be calm because the wife is sitting next to you and she's saying, honey, stay calm. I am calm, but he's still honking that horn at you. And you look up and says, what is this problem? The light is red. Honey, stay calm. Stay calm. And you try to remain calm. And he's back here really honking the horn. Now you're upset. If you weren't upset the first time, you're really upset now. Because this guy is honking his horn at you. And you never stop to realize for just one moment, why is he honking the horn? You look up, you see a red light. He's back here blowing his horn. He's blowing his horn because you are in the wrong lane. You're in the turning lane. And now you are forced to turn. You can't go straight. But you see, we didn't get that. We were upset because he's honking his horn at us. And the wife all along had been saying, honey, stay calm. She would have told you, but she had to get you calm first before she could say, honey, you're in the wrong lane. Has this ever happened to you? Or similar situations. These are moments that we wish we could just kind of reach out, spin the wheel backwards a little bit, and make this a do-over. Let's try this again. And yet, family, there are words that we speak from time to time. We wish we could just throw that hook out there, bring it back, get it back before anybody hears or knows what you said. But there are things that we can't get back. You know, we're told to redeem the time. Why? Because we can't get it back. We're told to watch the things we say. Why? Because we can't get it back. Here's an example. Things we say. Maybe not you, per se. Okay? You're fellowshipping after services. Someone walks up to you and says, what do you think of Sally's dress? And you look at Sally's dress. Now, in your mind, you say, that is one ugly dress. Why did she wear that dress? But now, coming out of your mouth, you're trying to put the filters on high because you don't want to cause offense. And you say something like, you know, I love Juicy Fruit gum. Tutti Frutti is my favorite flavor. Now, everyone around you is confused because are you comparing Sally's dress to Juicy Fruit gum? You're saying that her dress looked like a Tutti Frutti stripe from the gum? Everyone's confused. But you really weren't paying attention when the question was asked. Your mind was engaged. Here is a quote by Scott Westerfield. He writes, "Sometimes the thoughts in my head go out for a stroll through my mouth. When this happens, this is really a good thing." It is really a good thing. And I think many of us in this room could probably agree with that. Some of the things that go on in our minds, we kind of want to keep it in our mind. But sometimes it gets out. It leaks out. Words are spoken. Things are said. Feelings are hurt. Because we didn't think through. We didn't think it through. You know, family, in the midst of trials, you're under attack. You're being accused. You're being accused of things that you did not do or you didn't say. Now, some of us are disciplined enough to just be still. And then others of us don't really have that discipline. We react. We react. Nudge him again. One more time for me. We react. I told you the message was going to be the same. We react. We don't stop. We don't think. And it's a natural posture for us families sometimes, especially us men. You know, and just being transparent, we have a tendency of letting that inner man just kind of take over. We react. We don't stop. We don't think. We just react. Because we wanted to defend our character. We want to defend ourselves. You know, conflict and strife comes, family, because many times we don't listen. We don't listen. Example, daughter comes home. Dad, the girls and I want to go out. We're just going out to the mall. And Johnny wants to come along. Well, somewhere along the line, the girls in that conversation disappeared, and you heard Johnny. And what do? We react. No, you're not going. No, you're not hanging out with no boys. Dad, I said the girls. Johnny's just a friend, you know. Conversation over. Ears are turned off. It's not happening. Or even in our relationship with our mates. Something is said, and we only hear one part of the conversation. Because where we got turned off was with the thing that irritated us. And so we said, well, nope, this is not happening. Nope, end the conversation. Game over. Well, sometimes, family, we're not being fair. Oh, I bet none of us as adults in this room have ever heard that from our kids. None of us. None of us. You are not fair. And sometimes we hear, you weren't even listening to me. You came to a conclusion without even listening to what I had to say. Now, I know you in this room have not experienced that. Only I have experienced that. Raising four girls, one son. I used to hear that a lot. You said no just because you're the parent and you could. You're right. I did. But was I right? Was I right? Was I being fair? You know, James 1 and verse 19. We're going to go there. James 1 and verse 19. We're going to take a look at three instructions God inspired James to write and to give to you and to me. The title for this message this afternoon is Be Swift to Hear and Slow to Speak. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. You know, what we're learning and going to learn today is how to bridle our tongue. How to bridle our tongue. James 1 verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. You know, when we go to God and we're troubled, our heart is troubled, and we go to him and we talk to him, we want God to be swift to hear. We want God's undivided attention. You know, Father, I want you to hear what I have to say. I'm in trouble and I need you. And so we want him to be swift to hear, But family, he is also teaching us that we too must learn to do the same thing. Psalms 27 verse 7, you don't have to turn there. We hear David crying out to God. He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also on me and answer me." When we go to God, we want God to hear our cry. We want him to hear our voice. We want him to have mercy on us, and we want him to answer. But James writes, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God," he tells us. Now, there's quite a bit in these three little instructions that James wrote here. Being swift to hear. Now, being swift to hear doesn't mean that we do nothing but just listen. We must also process what we hear to gain an understanding and to know what to say and when to speak. In order to act upon what we hear, we must listen with patience while using godly wisdom, as we gain that right understanding with a willing spirit. We've got to have a willing spirit. In order to learn to be swift to hear, we've got to have that willing spirit. I grew up in an era where I used to hear this expression all the time, and so I would say that 99.9% of you in this room have heard the same expression. And that expression went something like this: you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I know all of you have heard that, and you probably have said that a few times. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. But the question here is this: can you teach an old dog new tricks? You can, but only if that old dog has a willing spirit. A willing spirit to hear what is being said and to make the changes accordingly. Then the old dog can learn a new trick. James is telling us here in verse 21. Here are some things that we have to do. Here are some changes that we must make. Because see, in this process, he's not calling us just to be hearers, but also doers. Verse 21, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness." Whew, stop. Changes. We've got to make some changes. We have to make some changes within our character. We have to make some changes within our behavior. We have to stop acting badly and start acting godly. But when we look at this, we don't always necessarily apply that to us. "Well, that's not me. You know, I don't have a bad attitude. I'm a pretty easygoing guy. I'm a lovable guy. I don't get upset. I don't react to things." Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. He says, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness." Why? So that we can receive with meekness, with humility, the implanted word which is able to save our souls. Well, how do we do this? How do we receive the implanted word? Well, family, we have work to do. We have work to do. We have to look in that mirror. You know, I've got a mirror there in my bathroom. One side, you know, just shows the natural face. The other side shows the ugliness to that natural face because it magnifies everything. And I use this example a lot at work, especially with staff people who tell me, "Oh, Pete, that's not me. That's not my attitude." Really? Which side of that mirror are you looking at? Are you looking at the side that just sees you? Or have you flipped it around and magnified the real you? The you that everyone else sees. The you that everyone else experiences. And that's what you and I have to do, family. We have to take a look in the mirror that magnifies everything, that shows us the real you. You know, we all like to think and believe that there's nothing wrong with our character. Oh, maybe a little thing. It's just something small. But you see, that small thing can graduate into something big if we don't take care of it. So How do we receive that implanted word? Well, this little vent up here is blowing this hot air down. I'm going to take my shirt off now. But how do we receive that implanted word? Well, James says we receive it with meekness. Many of you in here are farmers, and many of you I know have planted a garden, planted flowers. What do you have to do to prepare for that flower or those fruits and vegetables that you guys are going to produce? What do you have to do to the ground? Don't we have to prepare the ground? So in preparing the ground, that means we're going to remove the weeds, the rocks, the old beer bottles we threw out there and buried, so our wives didn't know that we actually had a drink sitting on the front porch again. We got to clear all that out. We got to clean it up to prepare the ground to receive the seed that you're going to plant in the ground. We've got to make sure that soil is good and that it will hold that seed so that it can grow into whatever it is that we're planting. The same holds true for you and me when it comes to this implanted word, this word in which God is given to you and to me to live by, to act on, this word in which will change and save our souls, as James speaks of here. I was online a few weeks ago, and I found this group. This called Skills You Need. They're kind of a self-help type group, and they have different modules that if you're looking to change your life, they have these different modules that you can go to. Well, I went to the one on becoming a good listener. Now, if I ask each of us sitting here, are you good listeners? What would your answer be? You know, sometimes we hear, but we don't listen. And there's a difference between the two. Okay? So they have 10 principles of listening. Now, I'm not going to go through all 10 of them, but I am going to share with you 4 of these. Number one principle of becoming a good listener. How many of you think you know the answer to that question? Way to go. Mother and son, way to go. All right, the first principle to becoming a good listener is don't talk. Don't talk. Listen. They put a quote in here by Mark Twain that goes, if we were supposed to talk more than we listen, we would have 2 tongues and 1 ear. I'm not going to touch that one, because that's dangerous in itself. But it's a good quote. Principle number 2, prepare yourself to listen. If someone wants to talk to you, prepare to listen to that individual. Point number 3, put the speaker at ease. Help the speaker feel free to speak. When our children come to us, put them at ease. You know what? Talk to me about John. Talk to me about not that John. Talk to me about not that John either. But anyway, I'm going to find out the name here. Talk to me about him. What kind of guy is he? You know what? I want to know. Tell me. And so when you put the speaker at ease, now they feel free that they can speak. Number 4, remove all distractions. Don't be taking the engine out of the car and think that you're listening to your wife, because she knows you're not listening. She already knows. You're up under that thing, you're hammering and tinkering. She's tinkering with things, and she's trying to talk to you. And she looks on there, are you listening to me? Yes, I heard every word you said. As you keep banging on the engine, trying to not hear what she has to say. But this is what we do. Remove all distractions. Focus on what is being said. But you know, family, to exercise these 4 steps, it takes a willing spirit and it takes humility on our part to be able to do this. Because listening is a skill that we have to develop. John 10, We read the qualities and the duties of a true shepherd. And we read that Jesus Christ is that true shepherd. Join me, if you will, over to John 10. John 10 and verse 22. John 10, verse 22. Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt?" You know, they want to know, hey, you know, what are you all about here? So how long are you going to keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, then tell us plainly. They wanted him to speak plainly to them. And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. I told you who I am. You didn't listen. You weren't listening. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. And I said to you, my sheep, hear my voice." Do we still hear the voice of Jesus Christ today in our lives? Are we listening? Are we giving note to God's word? Are we taking it in? Are we digesting it? Are we allowing it to make the changes in our lives that need to be changed? It says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life that they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father were one." You see, he explained to them, but they weren't listening. They didn't hear what he said. So they want him to just tell me plainly. Don't speak in these parables. Just tell me plainly is what they want to know. But yet he did speak plainly, but they didn't have the understanding. They weren't listening. Mark 4, if you would, join me over here in Mark 4. Let's take a look at Christ speaking in parables and why. Mark 4 and verse 1, "Again, he began to teach by the sea, and the great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into the boat, and he sat in it out on the sea. And the whole multitude was on land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his own teaching." Teaching, verse number 3, what's the first word? Listen. Listen. In order to be swift to hear, we have to listen attentively without distraction. We have to give the speaker the floor so that the speaker can speak and so that we can have the understanding that we're looking for. Within our families, with our children, with our coworkers, listening has to become a required and developed skill. He says, "Listen, behold, the sower went out to sow. And so it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air came by and devoured them. Some fell on the stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up, because it had no depth. But then the sun came up and scorched the seed, and it became, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell on thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out, and it yielded no crop. But other seeds fell on the ground and yielded a crop, and sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, 60-fold, some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears." What did he say? Be swift to hear. "He who has ears, let him hear." You see, if we want to know what Christ is telling us, we have to listen. Just as easily sometimes as we want to listen to gossip, we should take and give attention to what God is teaching you and me today and reminding us today. We must listen. Verse 10. "When he was alone, those around him went to the 12 and asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To you and I sitting right here today, we have been given an understanding to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to those outside, All things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Verse 13, and he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? You know, there's a question that comes out to you and me today. You know, Christ is constantly speaking to us, and he's teaching us, and he's talking to us. Do we still understand today the things that he has given to us over the years? Verse 14, the sower sows the word. It goes back to what James was talking about, being able to receive that implanted word, that word that is going to guide and direct our lives. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word was sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word away from them. He takes it right out of their hearts. You know, sometimes we try to understand why there are people that have come into our midst and they're gone. Well, the question, did the seed take root? Did it take root? We're learning here that, well, some, you know, the adversary came along and took it away from them, took it right out of their hearts. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who then were, they heard the word, they immediately received it, and they received it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, so that they can endure only for a time. Only for a time. The word has been given to them, but it just didn't take root. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arise, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. They stumble. They fall apart. They go astray. Now, these are the ones sown amongst the thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world are more important. The deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. That word is choked off. And so, again, we have a situation where a seed was not rooted. They heard the word, but they didn't act upon it. And so the word becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept the word, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. I would like to say that many of us in this room have been around for a very long time. I like to say that the seed that was planted within us, it has taken root. And we have accepted the word. And we are bearing fruit. We are bearing fruit. But yet, family, we have to continue. We have to continue to grow. We have to continue to repent. Continue to have that relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. And don't become complacent because we think we have it made. We still have a lot of work to do. And as we look at this message today, we will see that we have work to do. James 1 verse 19 says, let every man be swift to hear. In order for this to happen, we must develop listening skills. Why do you think James was inspired to instruct us to be slow to speak? Why do you think he instructed us? And that second part, to be slow to speak. Sometimes do we ever listen to the things that come out of our mouths? You know, we say things a lot, but do we ever pay attention to what we say and how we say things? And how others receive what we say? You know, I tell you, growing up and raising girls, I had to be careful of this all the time. It was annoying. You know, I couldn't say anything. You know, my son, hey, dude, get over yourself. Girls, oh no, now I've got to get a reason, explanation. I've got to talk to their mother. We got to get into counseling. You know, why can't you just accept no? You know, when they started that campaign back in the 70s, just say no, I was a dead man. Because they thought I made that campaign. And I was encouraging parents all over the world to just say no. But why do you think God inspired James to tell us. One, be swift to hear. Be attentive to the speaker. Hear what the speaker is saying. Are we listening to each other? And as we listen, are we gaining that understanding that we need to gain from each other? A lot of times, family, we just have to stop, remove all the distractions away from around us so that we can give each other that undivided attention. And so when we give an answer, we give an answer based upon our listening, our understanding. This is what God is wanting us to learn today, because this is how we are with Him. We want Him to listen. We want Him to hear us. We want Him to act upon what we're saying to Him. And so, family, we must learn to do the same thing. Here's another quote. I appreciate the fact that the person that put this quote upon the wall didn't take claim for this quote, because it wasn't theirs to claim. Because this quote came directly from James 3 and verse 5, which says, "The tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do." This is why God wants you and me to be slow to speak. Because we can't tame that tongue. Let's take a look at the second instruction that James gave us. That is to be slow to speak. Let's go to James 3. James 3 and verse 1. James 3 and verse 1. He says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment." You know, to be a teacher and to be a teacher of God's word, we have to discipline ourselves. We have to have a different walk and a different talk, because we are constantly on display and we're constantly being evaluated or judged, if I may use that term, by others. He says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." I'm not there yet. Are you? Are you able to bridle the whole body? I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it. I hope that you are as well. Verse 3, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn their whole body." And it's amazing, you know, to see that bit that we put inside the mouth of that horse. We're talking about a 2,000-pound animal here. And we're going to control that 2,000-pound animal with this rein, his little bitty bit. It's amazing. I love horses. And it just amazes me to see and to know that we can control that animal. And so here, we're being told here in James that we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. "Look also at ships. Although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they turn by a very small rudder." Very small rudder. Many of you have boats, or maybe you don't have boats, or you've been out on a boat lately. That little propeller thing that goes in the water. It's amazing how that steers that boat all over the water. That little tiny propeller that's on the bottom of the water there on that motor. It steers even the ships, as verse 4 is showing us. "Even the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body." The things that we say can defile the whole body. "And it sets on fire the course of nature." We're being warned here. We're being shown here the power of that tongue. That little thing in our mouth can create a lot of damage. And yet we're being instructed here to be slow to speak. "For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no one can tame that tongue. Now, if we are learning and understanding here that that tongue cannot be tamed, what does that tell you and me that we need every day? We need God's help. We need God's help. You know, sometime before we speak, somebody asks you a question. Put the mask on. Why? Because we got to be careful with what we say. And sometimes the filters aren't there. And those filters have to be there, is what we're learning today. The filters have to be there. And what is the filter? The filter is us following this very simple instruction. Be slow to speak. Think about it. That guy's back here blowing his horn at you. We have to look around. Take a look and see why. Oh, hey, I'm in the wrong lane. Hey, babe, why didn't you tell me I was in the wrong lane? Hey, I saw how you yelled at him. It was just that both of us being in trouble. You know, that tongue is a very dangerous instrument within our bodies. Verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. We bless God out of one side of our mouth, and then we curse men out of the other side. Verse 10, out of some mouths proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, this thing ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water out of the same opening? No. Can a fig tree bear olives? No. Can a grapevine bear figs? So, can a spring yield both salt and fresh water? Here's what we're learning here, family. We cannot say out of one side of our mouth that we're of God and we follow Jesus Christ and we're obeying his word, and then we turn to our neighbor and then we curse him out. This ought not be so. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there as well. But the wisdom that is formed from above is first pure, then peaceable. We heard about that in the sermonette. Gentle, willing to yield. Hey, there we go with that willing spirit. Must have a willing spirit to even to yield. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's quite a bit for you and me. And this is why I said, family, we still have a lot of work to do. The pandemic does not slow down the work of God. It doesn't slow down the course that God has us on. We still have to continue to work hard in preparing ourselves to make our calling and election sure. Family, we just read some of the powers of the tongue. But we also realize in reading this that we can't do it on our own. We need God's help. David wrote this prayer, Psalms 141 and verse 3. You don't have to turn there. He says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. We have to ask God, you know, to set a watch, to put that guard on my mouth so I don't have to speak and say the things that I'm going to regret later. We've got to keep that little rag handy, because sometimes when the filters are not working, shove that rag in your mouth. When your wife sees you with that rag in your mouth, she knows that you really are going to listen to her. Dudes, these are brownie points for you guys. I hope you're taking notes on this. Try to help us out. Psalm 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We want the things that we say to be pleasing to God. And if they're pleasing to God, then they're going to be pleasing to others. Jesus Christ explains where defilement in the man comes from. James spoke about this when he was talking about the body being defiled in James 3 and verse 6. Let's go to Matthew 15. Let's pick up a few notes here. In Matthew 15, let's go to verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees, who are from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Wow. Out of all that Christ was teaching, you're worried about the fact that I just had a tuna fish sandwich and I didn't wash my hands? Wow. Okay. Christ says, okay, let's go there. Verse 3, and he answered them and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God? Because of your traditions. For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift from God,' then he need not honor his father or his mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions." And he spoke nicely to them in verse 7, didn't he? He said, "You hypocrites." He just called them as he saw them. "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying," in verse 8, "these people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines of the commandments of men." You see, these people speak of him, but yet their heart is nowhere with him. They're not following him. And so, verse 10, when he had called the multitudes to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then the disciples came to him and said to him, "Hey, Christ, do you know that you just offended the Pharisees when you said that?" Really? So Christ goes on in verse 13. I think this is very direct and very plain. I don't know why they couldn't understand it. It's very direct and very plain. Verse 13, he answered them and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." He says, let them alone, because they are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, they both will fall into a ditch. Very direct. Very direct. Then Peter answered and said to him, "Please explain this parable to us." And Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding?" You see, family, Christ did not leave us without giving us the understanding that he wants us to have. We just have to have a willing spirit to receive what Christ is giving to us, to guide, to change, to direct our lives. We have to be willing to listen more to him than to everything else that goes on. We talked about this before, about the internet, our cell phones. We're giving more attention to what's going on there than to the word of God. And yet when things happen, we're wondering, why are these things happening? Well, if we had stayed focused, that word, that seed, the implanted word, we would know and we would understand. And Christ said, "Do you not understand that whatever goes into the stomach is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." You know, have you ever heard someone yelling and screaming? Have you ever heard an argument taking place? And typically it's the female who really screams out and yells out quite a bit at the guy. And when she yells out at him, man, that's coming from the heart. That's deep. That is deep. That woman is angry. She's furious. Christ is telling us that the things that proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart. And that's what defiles a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat without unwashed hands, that does not defile the man. It's those things that come out of that mouth, those things that you can't get back. And this is why Christ instructed James to write to you and to me. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Here's another prayer, family, that we need to have daily with God. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 6. You don't have to turn there. He's reminding us not to let our flesh cause us to sin. Do not allow your flesh to cause you to sin. And sometimes out of anger, and as Christ has shared with us here, the things that are proceeding out of our mouth, they're coming from the heart. It's coming from deep within. Let's take a note. As God's people, we must learn that when it comes to being slow to speak, godly wisdom, when used, gives us the ability to know what to speak, when to speak, and when it's time for you and me to bridle our tongue. This process allows us to choose our words more carefully so that our words are not hurtful and nor destructive. Proverbs 18 and verse 6, you don't have to turn there. But I like this. Well, maybe we should turn there. Because I'm going to translate Proverbs 18 and verse 6 two ways. Proverbs 18 and verse 6, it says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. Now, here's the first translation for this. For those of us over 40, here's what this means to you and me. You'll get punched in the nose. Now, for young Jeffrey Baker and his generation back here, here's what this means. Somebody's getting a beat down. That's how it is. Somebody's going to get a beat down. Someone's going to get punched in the nose because a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. You know, sometimes, family, we probably wish sometimes, oh, somebody to punch me in the mouth so I wouldn't say that again. And then you have these little kids running around and you wonder, where did they pick that up from? You know, the deer in the headlight moment comes. You're trying to act like that nobody will see you, but that expression and those words, they come from one person, their mother and their grandmother. It's funny to have your grandson running around you all the time. Just a little recorder. Now, the things I want him to remember, he doesn't. But the foolishness that comes out of my mouth sometimes, he runs around and tells everybody. But yet, God tells us this. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. You don't have to turn there, just write it down. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame to him. My favorite illustration of that would be Family Feud. You watch Family Feud? They go to ask the question. Starts reading the question. So, a man, didn't hear the whole question. You give the answer, and it's the wrong answer. Now, can we finish the rest of the question here so that the next person can get it? This is how we are sometimes. You know, we react and we respond before we hear the fact that our pants is on fire. Well, I would have told you, but I was trying to tell you, but you wouldn't listen. You know, you were quickly telling me to shut up and go get out of the way, and okay, so be it. And you're standing there burning. Why didn't you tell me my pants is on fire? I tried. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That tongue is powerful. It is powerful. This is why God instructed James to tell you and me and to remind us. My sons, my daughters, be swift to hear, to listen. We are going to have to develop some good listening skills moving forward. We're going to have to. It's very important because, see, we want God to hear us. We want God to listen to us. And so if we want God to do that for us, then we need to learn to do that to one another. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21. I'll just read this. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21. He says, do not take to heart everything that people say. You know, people bring you things. They say things. Oh, did you hear what Duke said about Sally? And Sally said about you. Don't take to heart everything that people say. He says, lest you hear your servants cursing you. If you didn't hear your servant cursing you, then be careful what other people bring to you about that individual. And then he gives us a reminder in verse 22, for many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. Oops, you've done the same thing. You've done the same thing. I've done the same thing. We've done the same thing. So don't take to heart everything that people say unless you hear it yourself. Because, you know, when we were kids growing up, you ever play this game? It'd be 20 of you in a line. The teacher starts down here, tells one kid something, and then he's got to repeat that to the next kid, and it goes all the way down the line. And then when the teacher gets down to the end of the line, she started down here and said, the apple was red. And when it gets all the way down here, somebody's dying. Somebody's dead. You know? And this is what happens to you and me. And this is why we're being told, don't take to heart everything that's being said. Do join me, please, in Romans 12. Don't take to heart everything that's being brought to us. We just stop. Process. Listen. Sometimes we just have to follow up. And to see if it's so. But yet we also have to be reminded of the fact that, hey, we've been guilty of doing similar things ourselves. Romans 12, let's go down to verse 9. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly and affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And honoring and giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That's where you and I have to be on a daily basis. In order to learn the art of listening, being swift to hear and to be slow to speak, we need God's help. We can't do that on our own. We just can't. We've learned that the tongue is untamable. We cannot tame that tongue. And so yet when we realize our weaknesses, then we have to go to God and ask God for help. Continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints and being given to hospitality. Now here comes a challenge for you and me. We got this person that we really don't like. But God says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you. I don't like her. I don't like her. I don't like him. Bless those who persecute you. Bless. Do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. You see, here we go. Back again. James 1, verse 19. In order to be able to receive that implanted word, it takes meekness. It takes us removing from around us all those evil things. Bad behavior. That's what it takes. Verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if all possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably. Going back to that sermonette again. Live peaceably with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Don't give place to anger. Because it's just like that, sitting at that stoplight. We got angry because of the fact that we had done something wrong, but yet we failed to look up and realize we were in the wrong lane. And sometimes in our lives, family, we're in the wrong lane. We're in the wrong lane if we're not listening. We're in the wrong lane if we're not being slow to speak. But we're giving place to the devil. We're letting him have a way with us. And God says, don't do it. But he tells us, vengeance are mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You can't do it. So therefore, verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. I don't like him. He says, feed him. Doesn't mean put rat poisoning in the food. Doesn't mean get the little doggy biscuits you get a dog to feed to him. No, you feed him or her. If he's thirsty, you give him drink. So you see, for doing so, you will be heaping coals of fire on their head. Here is what you and I have to do as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, you are my sheep. We are his. We follow him. We hear his voice. He said that my sheep, they know me. And family, we do know him. We do know him. He has not disappointed us. He has not let us down. There are times when Christ has had to tell us no. And sometimes maybe he had to tell us no many times for our own good. But he knows what's best for you and for me. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, in order for that seed to take root, changes have to be made within our lives. And we can't look in that little mirror. That one mirror just shows, huh, you know what? Handsome dude. Hey, look good. Yep, you too. Now we got to turn that mirror around so it's magnified. And we can see those little imperfections in our skin and our eyebrows. You realize one eyebrow is wider than the other one and longer than realize that when you turn around the other way. But when you magnify, it's like, you're one ugly dude. We see who we really are. We see who we really are. And that's what God wants us to see. Here's a quote by Samuel Hewitt. He says, never trust your tongue when your heart is bitter. Never trust your tongue when your heart is bitter. Because when your heart is bitter, this is what Christ wants you and me to learn. The things that come out of our mouths, at that moment, they come from within. They come from the heart. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. Pleasant words are like the honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 16, 24. Just quoting this. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs, we see a lot of wisdom and understanding that we can gain in trying to move forward. We're told in Proverbs 4 and verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth, we're told. Don't turn away from God. Do not turn away from God's word. Let it continue to guide and direct us. Be swift to hear what God has to say to you and to me on a daily basis. Be swift to hear his voice. Another quote here found in Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Again, I'm glad the writer who posted this did not take credit for this because it's not his to take credit for. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. This is where this quote came from. A tongue has no bones, but it can break your heart. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Harsh words stir up anger. So family, in this short moment that we've had together this afternoon, what can we take from what we've learned today? We have to learn, family, and we have to be taught, and we have to develop good listening skills. Not talking, listening. We must see the things that we need to see that are necessary for the changes to take place in our lives. We must humble ourselves in order to receive that implanted word, and in order to have that word planted within our heart, family, we've got to remove weeds, the rocks, everything from around us that will choke off that seed. We want to do this, family, so that that seed can grow. God wants that seed to grow within you and me. We have to be slow to speak. We understand the power of the tongue. It's a very powerful instrument. We know how dangerous it is. We know how hurtful and destructive words can be. Words in which we can never get back. We can't take them back. Once they go out, it's over with. You know, you could break your arm and the arm will heal. But you can verbally abuse someone to a point where healing will take probably a lifetime. And so we have to be careful with what we say. We understand that without God's help, the tongue is untamable. And we've learned that what comes out of the man is what defiles that man. In these instructions, family, this afternoon, we're learning to be slow to speak and swift to hear, praying and asking God for help and for guidance. His implanted word in us, we want it to have rule over us, the things that we do and the things that we say. We want the words that are coming out of our mouths to be acceptable and pleasing to God as well as to others. That's what we want. That's what we should desire. And yet, family, that's going to take some time for you and me to overcome. The challenge before us is developing the skills of becoming a good listener, developing the skills to bridle our tongue, being slow to speak. It's a challenge in which, family, we can set a goal and obtain. But we can only do it with God's help. We cannot do it on our own. So, family, we have before us an opportunity to make some changes that we need to make in our lives in order to keep growing, in order to keep being faithful in court, and also in, to make our calling and election sure. So we got work to do. We don't have time to sit down. We don't have time to worry about this pandemic. Pandemic's going to go on. That's not our concern. That's not our worry. God's got that. The president election, that's not our concern. That's not our worry. God said he's the one who puts kings and priests in their places. What do you and I have to do? Focus on the things that God needs us to focus our attention on in order to make that calling and election sure.